George, a couple times so far this offseason, the organization has made some kind of an overture to the fans, whether it was Ryan's video to season ticket holders, whether it was Ted's letter to the season ticket holders. Is the organization trying to express to the fan base here as you get to the third year of a regime that hasn't had the success on the field that you guys had hoped for by now?
Well, Ted sends a letter to our season ticket holders.
The Ryan one is a little bit unusual, is it?
Yeah,
not?
that was new.
Okay.
We're always looking for ways to touch base
sure.
with our fans. And we understand these days especially, we have a lot of work to do. Our fans are disappointed, and rightly so. And we need to get back to Bears winning ways.
You hadn't raised ticket prices in a few years. At some point, you kind of have to do that to keep up, right? Is that just sort of that maybe the timing wasn't the greatest thing?
Well, I don't know that there's ever a good time to raise ticket prices, but that's partly a function of our small capacity. We're one of the smallest, if not the smallest, stadiums in the NFL, and we try to keep the expense down as much as possible, as witnessed by 2 years when we didn't raise prices. But sometimes it just becomes necessary. You try to be reasonable about it. You try to explain the reasons for it to people, and hope they continue to support you. The Bears fans have just been unbelievably supportive through thick and thin over decades, and I had a chance to see that firsthand in 20 years in the ticket office. And it's something we don't take lightly. We celebrate it. And we do everything we can to hold on to that.
George, did the ownership approve the sale of the shares
yes.
for you guys? And can you give some explanation as to, it's a small move, right?
Yes. The big thing is that the majority ownership is going to remain in the family. This was just a small transaction. And as we've said many times, we have every intention of continuing to own the Bears.
When you look at the Titans, kind of the mess that happened there. Are there steps that you guys have taken to ensure that it doesn't happen to you?
Yes.
Such as?
She has a plan.
George, you anticipated my question on the stadium. I'm pretty sure with Minnesota Open, you are the smallest building in the league now in comparison to the majority by a fairly substantial amount of seats. How much longer can you maintain that before stadium questions?
Well, the new Soldier Field is relatively young, and we like a lot about it. One of the functions of the smaller capacity was much improved sight lines, bringing the seats closer to the action, making it a more intimate setting, a louder setting, and what should be a home field advantage for us. But we need to play better to get those fans behind us.
Right, but I was kind of just referring to needing to take more revenue out of the stadium.
Oh.
I mean, at some point, it seems like you got to add seats or have a bigger building, or maybe not, I don't know.
Well, it's a challenge to the people in our sponsorship department, and they do a great job. We need the revenues in order to stay competitive, but every team in every market has challenges of one sort or another, so just do the best you can, get the best people you can.
George, the Sayers family has obviously made it public very recently of what Gale's going through. One, what's your reaction to what he's dealing with? And two, your obviously what he's meant to the organization for such a long time.
I read the story in the Kansas City Star. It was beautifully written and powerfully written, and it was heartbreaking. Gale's been one of the all-time greats. We love him and his family. Bears fans of a certain age remember Gale as an electrifying performer on the field and a gentleman off the field. Even if you're not a football fan, so many people remember Brian's song and that beautiful story. It's difficult to see, but we're hoping that the research that the Bears and other NFL teams are funding will lead to advances in the area of dementia, not just for superstars, but for others who have played the game, and not just for football players. This is a debilitating force in society, and I know there's a lot of research going on at a lot of levels, and we're hoping that we can do some part to get on top of that.
What are your greatest personal memories of him, both as a player and then as a guy who's obviously been around the organization well after his career?
Well, as a player, I remember if we were ever down by seven, it was always, come on, Gale, take that kickoff back or break that run, get us back in the game. And one of the most electrifying runners in NFL history and a threat as a runner, as a kick returner, as a punt returner, even as a passer. Just every time he got his hands on the ball, you never knew what was going to happen. Usually it was good. Off the field, like I said, the story that was told in Brian's song, I think, speaks well to the measure of the man.
George, when you are at a game at Soldier Field and you look in the stands, it seems like you're more likely to see a Gale Sayers jersey or a Ditka or Butkus jersey than a lot of players that are on the field now. And obviously it speaks to the tradition. But I'm curious your thoughts overall on what a face of a franchise means and whether you feel like you guys have a void or something that could be filled there that's unfilled right now in terms of that face of the franchise.
Well, it's always great to see a Sayers jersey or a Butkus jersey, or you see a Halas jersey every once in a while. Those are always great to see. And I think leaders emerge. Kyle Long has that capability, just to name one. But we need players that the fans can rally behind. And with John and Ryan, I think we're going to do that.
In that context, how do you look at the quarterback situation now that the one who has been here for so long is now gone?
Well, Mike Lennon is our acquisition of free agency, along with Mark Sanchez. We re-signed Connor Shaw, and we'll see what happens in the draft as far as that position is concerned. But Ryan has been very impressed with Mike, looking at the tape, so forth. Big, strong, tough, good leader, and keeps the turnovers down and can move the team down the field and win for you.
Have you gotten to know him at all?
Just met him in the hallway. He and his wife and their son Brady were at Halas Hall. It was just a quick hello. Looking forward to getting to know him better.
Any other impression besides tall?
tough, smart, good leader.
George, what was your role or the procedure with DeAndre Hall? I mean, would you guideline? Will they bring a decision to you? What place in the process will you have with? As the information is finally, when you have all the facts and whatnot, is a decision like that coming to you, whether he stays with the team?
Well, that's the first and most important step is getting all the facts. We want to find out what happened, DeAndre's explanation of what happened, and then we'll make a reasoned decision about how to go forward.
Does that come to your desk ultimately, or is that something Ryan can decide?
It might. Ryan and I talk all the time, so we have pretty good lines of communication. If he brings it to me, I'll be happy to share my opinion with him.
George, what gives you the confidence that the team is going to rebound from last year and continue to head in the upward direction?
We have confidence in Ryan and John. we want to build through the draft. Ryan said that in his interview when he said he was interested in coming to the Bears. And we like how he's stuck to that plan. You saw it last year when we had three rookies on the Pro Football Writers of America All-Rookie Team, Cody Whitehair, Leonard Floyd, and
Jordan Howard.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, I forgot that. 1,600-yard guys. And that's what we need to keep doing, keep building through the draft. I told Ryan he should get ripped every time around this year, this time of year, every year for not being more active in free agency, and that's because we're developing our own guys and rewarding our own guys.
So you're enjoying the coverage this year?
Is it getting ripped?
I'm just kidding. But
what is your assessment? This will be year three of Brian's regime, and obviously came in as a rookie GM with no background. What is your assessment of what he's accomplished through these 2+ years that you've been around him?
We like him. We haven't had the results that we wanted, obviously. Everybody's disappointed. Ryan is disappointed. John's disappointed. But I've been very impressed with him as a leader, as an evaluator of talent, One of the things I've been most impressed with him is the discipline he's shown just as recently as this free agency period. He didn't want to overpay guys too often, I think. You overpay guys that don't come through for you, and then you've got a big hole in your salary cap, and you're behind the eight ball. So I like the discipline he's shown, the restraint he's shown in the free agency.
But what do you measure him on going forward here?
Well, we want to continue to see the progress that we've seen so far.
So that is my question, because obviously there was going to be a honeymoon when they came in. But I don't think anybody expected the 6-10 to go back to 3-13. You still saw improvement last year, even though the win total dropped?
Well, like I said, everybody's been disappointed with the results. We haven't seen the improvement that we'd like to see in terms of the record. But
I'm sorry, I'm asking about improvement outside of the record, because sometimes it's not all wins and losses. You do feel that the way they're acquiring talent and the way the organization has been kind of restructured, that the improvement is going on, even though the wins weren't there last year.
Yes, sir.
So, George, you understand how, you know, the media can be and fans can be in situations where they are entering a third year. They've only won 9 games. There'll be a lot of speculation about, you know, your patience with the process and your willingness to continue with these guys. What do you think about the way that possibility in terms of the heat and the speculation looms? And because obviously it's up to you. I mean, you're the one that can dispel that type of talk or you know, sort of set the course there.
Yeah, we're not on any particular timetable that somebody else is wanting to set for
right.
us. We're wanting to see continued progress toward our goal of sustained success.
Were you expecting more stability, though, at this point in time? Other than the 49ers, the Bears have made more acquisitions than anybody in free agency so far. So do you think that the messaging's on point with kind of relying on the draft, knowing that Ryan's going more short-term acquisitions, kind of like tryouts, if you will, for the team? So were you expecting more stability in year three than you see right now?
I didn't have any particular expectations that area, other than Ryan doing what is necessary to upgrade the roster.
As you looked at this whole Raider situation and entering a market in Las Vegas that the NFL's never been in before, what were the concerns and what ultimately led to you voting to approve that move?
The gambling was a concern, but I think with the proper safeguards that can be dealt with. I had a concern about the viability of Las Vegas as an NFL market, but they presented us with research that said, among other things, that in 20 years, the population of the Las Vegas area and the population of the Oakland area are going to be basically comparable. So it looks like a community on the rise, and I think Mark Davis and his group are going to do a great job there.
What about more just the general upheaval there's been the last 2 years with 3 franchises moving? Is that a good thing for the NFL? Is that a bad thing? I mean, I have to imagine that's a concern too.
Yeah, we try to avoid it whenever possible. You don't like to see that happen. Sometimes it becomes necessary. It's very disappointing for the fan bases of those communities. The way I look at it, it makes us appreciate even more how fortunate we are to have the solid fan support that we have in Chicago. And if you remember, I'm sure Hub remembers, the Bears were forced to relocate once for economic reasons.
Last year at this time, I believe we talked to you about China, from your spot on the International Committee, and just wondering if there was any developments from the international standpoint that are coming out of this week that are worthy of pushing forward or of interest?
There was a little discussion about China, but more about the 4 games in the United Kingdom and
uh-huh.
1 game in Mexico City.
How did the league, interpret those or process those going forward?
The indications are that the UK continues to be mm-hmm. A good market for NFL football. The game in Mexico City was a big success last year, and that's why they're continuing in both of those places this season.
Any sense whether the Bears will be a part of any of those games anytime soon? I know the London games are already spoken for, I believe, this year.
Yeah, we're not going to be playing internationally in 2017, but I don't know about after that.
Okay.
George, as it relates to players in the draft who have high-profile character questions about them. When do you want those questions to come toward you if the Bears are interested in selecting a player as?
That's an ongoing discussion with Ryan and John and Ted and me. So it's not like it's addressed at a particular time and then it's not addressed. It's an ongoing dialogue.
So it will occur throughout the pre-draft process well before draft weekend. You'll have input on guys as they're stacking their board?
Well, I wouldn't say that I'll have input on guys. I receive information quickly.
It's interesting to me watching some of the other family organizations, Steelers, Bengals, Giants, not only the children, but the grandchildren that are now running these teams or high up the organization. Are there any McCasper/Ellis grandchildren we should be keeping an eye on as future leaders in the organization?
Well, we're Ellis grandchildren in the organization right now.
Right, next gen.
We've been studying a lot of family businesses over the years, and the key is, from what we've been told, is the cousins generation. So my son and his cousins. And so we're trying to strike that delicate balance between passing on our passion about the Bears and George Halas's legacy and not instilling in anybody a sense of entitlement. So. We'd love to get the next generation in, but we want it to be in the right situation so that that person can thrive and be a productive member of the Bears.
So when the kids are currently making their way through the ranks?
Yeah. We don't have any of the next generation employed yet, but we're looking forward to that day.
Well, George, when you said the key.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? Just the actual sort of the pivot point for thriving and it continuing? The key to, you said the key in these family businesses is the cousins.
I beg your pardon. Yeah. So in classic family business situation, but when it gets down a few generations and the ownership is diluted and in some cases the interest is correspondingly diluted, mm-hmm. that's when family businesses are the most challenged. Mm-hmm. So we want to meet that challenge by making sure that family members understand George Halas's legacy and are as interested in we are in continuing that legacy, and we've been given every indication that that is resoundingly the case.
George, just when you say you study family businesses, is there one or two in particular?
No, just in general.
Just
I mean, it isn't limited to sports, just, you know, the entrepreneur, the patriarch or the matriarch starts a business.
Sure.
And then typically passes it down to a son or daughter. That's what's happened in this case. And then as it gets further down the line, it becomes more and more challenging to hold it together. That's our challenge.
Is there any one company or two companies that struck you?
No, not anybody in particular.
In terms of what you're looking for, you know, speaking from Ryan and John this year, the watchword will be progress. You want to see progress. Is there a quantifiable aspect? No one ever wants to talk about a win total, but obviously it wouldn't be satisfied with four. Is there some measure or some plan that you put in place what you want to see, whether it's winning margin against the Packers, whether it's winning the NFC North? Have you set specific targets that you want to see to measure that progress?
No. We want to continue to see progress, continue to see the building blocks, but there isn't any sort of particular threshold.
George, ESPN is coming out with a documentary series about fans at Soldier Field. Have you, you know, been privy to some of that production? Have you seen any of it? What are your thoughts in general on how this is going to portray the fans there?
Yeah, it's Section 250.
Yes.
I haven't seen it. I'm looking forward to it. I've heard a lot of good things about it. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll highlight the passion of our great fans. And I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Have your views on the Hard Knocks changed?
No.
So to be clear, you would prefer not?
We're looking forward to seeing which team other than us is profiled this year.
Do you miss the simplicity of just having to watch on your tickets?
I'm very, very fortunate. I'm blessed. I'm humbled by this responsibility. And I keep in mind every day as I'm walking past the George Halas statue to walk into Halas Hall that there are any number of 3 or 4 million Bears fans that would immediately change places with me if they could.
Annual question, Sunday is opening day. Can you give us your 2017 Cubs outlook?
Wow, baseball's here already? Who knew? Very, very satisfying after 108 years of waiting. Our entire family, with the exception of one unfortunate, misguided soul, lifelong Cubs fans. It was just very, very gratifying. Very happy for Tom. I mean, I remember him. He's great, and he's taught me a lot about staying in touch with the fans. And he was walking around Wrigley Field, not shying away from anybody's questions when the Cubs were losing 90 games a season for three seasons, and patiently answering people's questions, when are you guys going to win? And I couldn't be happier for him and the Cubs and Cubs fans everywhere.
Those final few games occurred during your bye week last year. How did you take in Game 7? Where were you?
I was sitting at home by myself, and that guy Davis hit that home run to tie the game, and they showed the stadium shaking. I thought, geez, after all of this, and then the greatest rain delay in Cubs history, and they showed what they were made of. It was just very, very satisfying, and we're looking forward to that kind of moment for the Bears and Bears fans.
Organizationally.
The cross-franchise interaction with other franchises in Chicago of sharing viewpoints and philosophy that you mentioned, Tom.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for Tom and Jerry and Michael and Rocky, and they've been very, very helpful to me, and like to enjoy some of that Rocky, Tom, Jerry, Michael's success.
What have you gleaned, though, from their ability to turn things around rather quickly, both the Blackhawks and the Cubs? What philosophically can you draw from their experience to apply it to your own organization?
Well, I wouldn't call a 108-year wait a quick turnaround.
Since Theo's arrived, and,
even since Theo arrived. I mean, I remember when Theo arrived, and I think it was the Chicago Sun-Times had a picture of him walking on water across Lake Michigan. And at the end of that first season, they had the same photo, but he was thigh deep as he was trying to walk across. And they told people, you know, this is going to take a while because we are going to do it the right way. And one of the things that I take from the Cubs' example is you have to have a plan, you have to have the right people, and you have to give those people the freedom to execute that plan, and you have to stick with that plan.
George, what was the Bears? What was the process like getting behind the bill that would change the workers' comp law?
Well, that is part of a larger reform of workers' comp in Illinois, which is part of a larger grand bargain for a budget in the great state of Illinois. And it's really meant to just address what we feel is an anomaly in the law. No other worker in that situation would be entitled to those types of benefits. And Illinois is one of the most generous workers' comp states in the country. There are some states that don't even have workers' comp laws and don't have the type of law that would entitle a worker in this situation to those types of benefits.
George, it seems like that's been kind of muddled in the reporting. My understanding, what you want is for the offset to go away at a younger age, not go away permanently.
Correct. You want the offset? Correct. And so, there would be no elimination of benefits. It would just be a more, we think, just way of calculating those benefits.
That seems like common sense. What is the player's objection?
You'd have to ask them.
Yeah.
And it's only wage differential. It's not workers' comp. It's only wage differential.
Yeah, all of the other benefits would remain in place. We would just be addressing this, what we think is an anomaly and an unintended consequence of the law.
There was a reaction when D. Smith came out so adamantly saying that he was going to tell players not to come to Chicago in a situation that didn't relate to the actual facts of how other franchises and states stacked up.
Well, actually, if he takes an eyes open look at the other venues in the NFL, the other states where there are NFL teams, he should be encouraging guys to sign with the Bears.